Well, this morning we're in the 16th session of what it means to be reformed. And come on in, welcome. We are studying the subject of what it means to be reformed, and more specifically, the second of the five solas of the Reformation, that is sola gratia. I've attempted to set the stage for this over past weeks by talking about the subject of conversion to Jesus Christ, first of all, and how important it is for us to understand conversion better before we speak about the doctrines of grace, the precious doctrines of grace whereby we are saved. And it is a real wonderful thing to be able to understand that it is the love of God, the special love of God that draws us to Christ and then opens our hearts and our understanding to be able to behold the beauty and glory of Christ and to see our own need as sinful people. To trust in Him alone for salvation. That takes grace. It isn't something that we do on our own. It is something that we need help with. In fact, we need to be raised from the dead spiritually in our hearts before we can understand the truth of our need of Christ. Perhaps you're unaware of that. But unless a person is born again, they cannot see and they cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so I want to set the stage for the subject of what we're speaking about this morning, which is the doctrine of election, by saying that it's not good to criticize the Word of God, criticize the doctrine of election, say that it isn't true, if you never read your Bible. And if you read your Bible and you criticize the doctrine of election, it's still not good because it's God's truth that's found in the Bible, not our own. So we don't make up these doctrines of grace and impose them on the Scriptures. We do not call ourselves Calvinists in order to fight with other Christians and to try to impose something false upon them. Far be it from us to do that. The only thing that we want to do is to establish all the truth of the Bible, not just some of it. Not just man's part in salvation, which is to believe, which everybody ought to know is plainly stated in the Word of God. But what is not plainly stated in the Word of God to some people's understanding of it is that God chooses all that will be saved before the foundation of the world in order that He might have all the glory of our salvation. Now let me ask you if you believe that, dear Christian. Because it's not my purpose to fight with you. If you want to fight against the doctrine of election, you're fighting against God. And you need to understand that. Because the doctrine of election and the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of foreknowledge and predestination are plainly stated in the Word of God. And they don't need to be twisted. They don't need to be turned to fight as weapons between Christians against one another. They only need to be received and gloried in as something that God does apart from anything good in us or anything bad in us. You could be ever so good and you still need Christ, and you could be ever so bad and you still need Christ. And so you need to understand that the doctrine of election is not based upon your having been good or bad, but it's based upon God's good pleasure. And that's the title of our Sunday school here, God's good pleasure in electing love. And I want you to turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we want to look at verses 6 to 10 for a few minutes. Deuteronomy chapter 7. What an encouragement it is to see all you Caucanses and just all these dear people here today on Pauline's 93rd birthday. We're rejoicing. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 10. Is there someone who could read these verses for me here this morning? Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 10. Go ahead, Abe.
The Lord did not set His love on you to pursue you because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments.
Wow.
But repays those who hate Him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates Him. He will repay him through His face.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Abe. Now, these are some very significant verses, although to many Christians' minds, they may be set in obscurity in the book of Deuteronomy. We need to ask ourselves a question here this morning. Why was it that God chose Israel, Old Testament Israel, to be His people, and chose them, as it says here, to be the only people that He set His love upon during Old Testament times? Why? Is it because God is an awful God, not to be worshipped or adored, because He chose these people, set His love upon them, but He didn't set His love and choose any other people? I find that very significant. It only goes to show us something that we probably have never really stopped to consider, and that God has very, very, very deep reasons for choosing anyone unto salvation. Is anyone worthy of being chosen to salvation? No, not at all. Not one of us, not the best of us, not the most moral of us is worthy to be chosen unto salvation. Why should God choose any of us or save any of us based upon the many sins of our heart and life? I think myself, as I think back on my life, of the many sins that I've committed against God, of which I am truly ashamed, and have repented of them. But as I stop to think in my own mind, there's a good many sins that I committed against God that I just don't remember. Years ago, I committed many sins years ago, terrible sins against God in my heart, if not in my actions. And yet God still had mercy upon me. I certainly didn't deserve it. I was fighting against the Lord's calling. I didn't want Christ. I didn't want to be saved. I didn't think I needed to be saved. Why would God save somebody like me? Why would my dad weep over me? When I would come home from college and I was doing all kinds of terrible things at that point in my life. Well, He wept over me because it was the love of Christ in Him. The love of God that had been poured out in His heart for my salvation. And so we want to think together about this. You notice here, it says here in the text of Deuteronomy chapter 7, it says, In verse 6, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure. Now you read the history of Israel, far and away, most of them were not a special treasure. I just read it. Go back and read it. They weren't. They really weren't a special treasure. I mean, in the sense that you would evaluate it and say, wow, they're surely worthy that God chose them. No, it wasn't that way at all. He says, God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. And then look at verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations of those who love him. Well, who loves God except those who he has first loved? As it says in 1 John, we love God because he first loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, we need to receive these truths. We don't need to fight against the doctrines of grace or wage war against our brethren over them, do we? No, we really don't. We need to receive them. We need to look deeply into the Bible and see that these truths are there because our God is so great and awesome that he knows everything from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. All of his works are known to him, even from the beginning. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. And yet we sometimes we just look at God as like he's some other man. It's not fair, God. You didn't choose all the people. You should have chosen all the people. No, see, we don't understand God. We don't understand his ways. We don't understand his glory. We don't understand how God gets glory for himself. There's so many things that we don't understand. I want you to turn with me over to Revelation 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11. Who would read that for me? Just that one verse. Very interesting verse. Go ahead.
Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and they were created.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful that God has created all things? It was by his will that they exist and they were created. Now look across the page about the picture of how the New Testament church is to worship God in New Testament times. And in chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign upon the earth. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let me ask you, if you praise God that you have been redeemed unto God, if you're a person who believes in the doctrines of grace, which you should, you should be a person of praise. Because you see that this was not of yourself, this was the gift of God, that you cannot boast in relation to your salvation. You cannot say, I chose you, God, and so therefore I'm a Christian. No, God chose you first. Set His love upon you. Let me tell you this morning that there is a general love of God for all mankind. Sometimes people get confused by the doctrine of election. They think that God has no general love for all mankind. Well, what is John 3:16 in the Bible for except to tell us about the general love of God for all mankind? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Beautiful. Wonderful. Glorious. Grace that's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ when we believe in it. But God is so great that He encompasses everything that relates to our faith, everything relates to our being drawn, everything relates to our heart being open, everything that relates to our being able to respond. Why is it that people have the ability to respond? Because they were created by God in the first place. And because they were created and they exist for His good pleasure, take notice of that. They don't exist for their own good pleasure, they exist for God's good pleasure. Then they ought to be those who praise Him. You think about other verses in 1 Timothy and Luke chapter 6 and Romans chapter 2, and you begin to understand that God has a general love for all of mankind. That we should pray for all men. That we should pray for kings and all kinds of different people and those who are in authority. That we should understand that it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. As it says in Romans chapter 2. That Jesus Christ died a ransom for all, that we should pray for all. That God has desire, a will of desire, that all men come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And yet that's not at all incongruous with the doctrine of election. The two of them stand side by side. God has a general love, and He has a particular and special love. And that love is demonstrated, first of all, in Israel, but it's demonstrated in all the patriarchs as well. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were called by God. All of them were chosen by God, but not all the Amorites were chosen by God. Not all of the neighbors of Abraham were chosen by God. We need to understand that God's choice is based upon His wisdom, His love, His eternal love. And we haven't got time to look at all of that here this morning. I wish we had another half an hour, because I'd open it up more for you. But there's just one other passage that I want to look at just briefly, and it's Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, and then we'll close. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. This is an amazing verse here. Amazing set of verses. At that time, chapter 31, verse 1, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people, says the Lord. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest. And then watch this. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you, and again I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about their future conversion. He's talking about the fact that He has loved this nation with an everlasting love. Do you know that God can love nations, whole nations of people, with an everlasting love? That's what He did with Israel. Does that mean that all Israel are Israel? Chosen by God? No. Only those who have the special and particular love of God which He sets upon them to choose them, to call them to Himself, to give them grace, and then to make them into people who are delighted to worship Him. Well, let's pray together. We thank You, Father, for this short time around Your Word. We pray that You will feed us with the heavenly manna, that You would open our hearts and minds to understand these deep truths that we're talking about here today. Help us not to disdain them or to shun them or to fight against them, but to receive them, because they are found plainly here in Your Word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.